You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, Dr. Maiva, in the second half of our conversation, I want us to talk more about how in the first half you spoke about insulin. And I just want you to take us through the scientific process of how sugar is broken down into the body. And I'm talking about your natural sugars. And then where does it go to? And what does it do? And how do we benefit when these natural sugars are broken down?
Okay, so how natural sugars tend to be processed within the body. So if we're talking about our fruits and our vegetables and our naturally occurring sugars, they come in different forms. Earlier, we mentioned lactose, we mentioned glucose, we mentioned fructose, which we find in these natural sugars. So what tends to happen is, chemically, these sugars tend to have a different shape that comes to them. But as you digest and as you digest the sugar, they tend to be broken down in its simplest form, which is glucose, which is what the body requires in order to sustain itself. You know, glucose as a sugar is good because we need it to be alive, to be active, for our brain to function, for everything to work. So where insulin plays a role, insulin is a naturally occurring hormone that's produced by an organ called the pancreas. And its job is to regulate sugar levels within the body. So there's a certain range that we normally look for when we test for sugar. And what insulin then does is its job is to help the body to absorb the sugar that is in the bloodstream. So when the sugar is broken down, it's absorbed into the bloodstream and it flows with the blood. And what insulin's job is to do is to open up the cell so that they're able to absorb that sugar. So when you have very high levels of sugar, the insulin isn't able to work as it should because it's saturated. You know, the cells are full, the cells are saturated with sugar, and the bloodstream still has very high sugar levels. And what tends to happen is a lot, especially with diabetics as well, is that because it's so concentrated within the bloodstream, people tend to have to pass it somehow. And that's where, you know, the what we call polyuria comes in, where you pass a lot of urine, you become dehydrated because you lose a lot of water as well. But it's the body's way of trying to get rid of those high sugar levels. Ultimately, insulin helps the body's cells absorb the sugar. And then within the cells, they are further broken down into certain energy particles. And that's how energy is produced in the body.
Oh, that's quite interesting. And whilst you're talking, you triggered something in my mind. You spoke about hormones, and you're saying the insulin sort of, I don't know, somewhere along the line, I just heard the word hormones. And I was thinking to myself, there's quite a, and I was looking at statistics. Sexually, South Africa seems to have quite a huge problem when it comes to erectile dysfunction. And could this be stemming from the element of that there's a hormone imbalance because of sugar?
Yes. So there's a few kind of mechanisms where kind of high sugars and high sugar level plays a role, you know, in sexuality, such as things like erectile dysfunction, and in women, things like PCOS, which is PCOS. So it's called polycystic ovarian syndrome as well. So what tends to happen, as I said, you know, obesity especially is a gateway to a lot of these diseases. And, you know, it obviously affects the balance of the hormones, including the sexual hormones within the body. But more so on top of that, it also affects the vascular system as well, which is responsible for supplying, you know, the body's organs. And so when things like sexual health become affected, you know, it's a combination of factors. So hormone levels and hormone imbalances, but also the cardiovascular part of it as well, you know, so that also plays a role in manifestation of things like erectile dysfunction, polycystic ovarian syndrome, and other things as well. So there's a lot of factors that contribute to that, but they are ultimately related, you know, to the effects of these chronic diseases, you know, and these are things that, you know, may not have been as endemic 50 years ago or 100 years ago, and we're seeing them more so now because of what we consume.
And that becomes very, it's interesting now that you mentioned that maybe 50 or 20 years ago we had a different approach towards these processed sugars, and now we live in a time where sugars, when you get to the till, they're actually right next to you, and they're actually colorful, and they're appealing to the eye. And that's a problem. That's a huge problem, Dr. Maiva, because When I remember, it must have been 1985. I went to the doctor, and the doctor gave me the biggest lollipop I'd ever seen in my life, which was a reward for me for not crying when he injected me. And I thought, man, that's a cool doctor. But doctors don't do that anymore because I think knowledge around sugar has quite increased. But getting back to where I want to drive to is to say we live in a time where the option for choices is too much. And I think this calls for significant discipline within families to say, when we get to the till, we close our eyes. We are here to buy cabbage. Let's eat cabbage. We can forget the nice chocolate. Let's talk about that importance of discipline.
Okay, so yeah, so when families get involved, especially with children, because a lot of these marketing campaigns are aimed at children. As you mentioned, you get to the till, these candies and chocolates are right by the till, they're all colorful. So they're very attractive to children, and not just children, myself included, So it's all part of the marketing as a way to sell these items. A lot of these big companies, are not considering kind of the after effects of them because they just need to drive sales. So I think parents, it's very important, when it comes to discipline and managing sugar intake, especially at home, that you take into account kind of the home environment as well. So there's a few steps or things that you can do as well to try and control the sugar consumption at home. So one of the things is to, sweeten snacks as much as they're nice to have. If you're getting them once in a while when you go to the doctor, that's okay because it's not a staple. But the issue comes in when it becomes an everyday item or becomes a staple food. That's when the issues start to arise, And with a lot of children, and families as well, is that they're not incorporating healthy snacks into their diet either. All the snacks are either chips or sweets. Even with things like chips and sauces and all those things, there's different things that contain sugar that we may not be aware of. So I think that's where it's important. And, especially as parents, it's easier to tell your child not to consume sugar if, you're just as disciplined. So it's important to be a good example as well, to them. So children aren't going to, crave or want something that they're not exposed to constantly. So if there's always candy in the house, or always sweet things, they're going to want to consume it. But if the family, the whole family, the parents, everyone is healthy and consumes a healthy diet, then there's less tendency for children to want to go after those things when they do see them.
That's powerful. That is so powerful. Now, Dr. Mab, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to take you to Checkers, and I want you to buy for us a breakfast ingredients that have got natural sugars. I want you to buy for us lunch products that have got natural sugars and supper. And in it all, let's not use any processed sugars. Breakfast. Let's start with breakfast. Let's go into the aisle. I don't know aisle at Checkers, but take us through an aisle where we'll get something for breakfast, something that's nutritious, something that is energy giving and healthy.
So what you want to go for mostly is whole foods. So these are things, easy way to remember this is these are things that tend to rot after a while. So anything that's able to sit on for a few months usually has some kind of preservative or some kind of sugaring in it that keeps it that way for a few months. So if you can go for things that tend to go off or tend to rot after a while, that's so if we had to prepare breakfast, for example, breakfast, most of them tend to be dried things. So they may not rot natural foods like vegetables, but you want to go for like whole oats, rolled oats, which are natural. And then you want to stay away from things like cereals and granola. People tend to think granola is healthy because it's got nuts and fruits, but all those contain sugar preservatives. So you want to go for whole foods. So even people who grew up eating porridge, like amabele or just
Oh,
normal white
yes.
porridge. These are things that you can make easily at home as well. So these are things that, are just preserved or kind of ground forms of natural occurring corn or wheat, or oats. So these are things that, don't contain a lot of preservatives. So oats, mealie meal and things that that are simple to make at home. So for lunch,
We
you
can
want
have
to
Roasted peanuts. Can
Rolled.
we have roasted peanuts for breakfast?
Yes, you can if you want, but obviously moderation is key. Not too much,
Okay.
but not every as well, because they also contain,
Oh,
high cholesterol and fats and other things that, we may not be discussing now, but they have their own issues if consumed excessively as well.
all right. Okay, good. Let's go for lunch.
Okay. So for lunch, lunch tends to be quite easy. You want to go for something natural, so like a chicken breast. If you're someone that likes steaks, and you can go for something light, like a stir fry. And you can pair that with a salad. And if it's someone that has a lot more energy, or exercise and is quite fit, you can add some kind of carbohydrate to that. And these are things that can be like sweet potato or just normal potatoes as well. So these will give you the kind of sugar or the carbohydrates that you need and the energy that you need, but tend to satisfy for a lot longer. So something like a salad or a chicken breast, with some sweet potato, that would be a simple lunch. That's quick to make, easy to make, but also has natural sugars as well.
Okay. Supper. Let's get to supper.
Okay, so supper would be very similar to lunch, and I know there's different theories about it. A lot of there's some of the theories now say lunch should be bigger than your supper, but technically you could have the same meal for supper as you had for lunch. So you want to go for whole grain, so things like rice, things like mealy meal pap as well, but also in moderation because it's still sugar at the end of the day. And things like potatoes or sweet potatoes, you can pair that with a protein as well. So a protein, is things like chicken breasts, or just chicken in general. You can pair that with beef or any other protein, natural protein, so any meat essentially, or fish. And then you can pair that with salad as well. For people who don't eat meat, you can substitute the protein for things like beans and other legumes. People like dal, lentils, that's a good alternative as well for protein. But as long as your plate is balanced, so you want to have a portion of carbohydrates, some protein, as well as some kind of salad or something with the extra minerals and vitamins as well. And then fat as
That's great.
well. Yes, a lot of people, advocate for fats to be included, but a lot of the foods that we tend to eat are processed with some natural fats in them. So you don't need to add additional fat to have pure fat, because it tends to be there as you're preparing your food and the cooking oil. And some foods, like you mentioned, some nuts come with natural fats as well.
You know, Dr. Maba, there's one thing that I find very interesting as Africans, and I don't know when we will move away from this issue of pap, where we can. There are people who can't go for a day without pap. And I find that to be challenging. I think we're loading sugar and sugar over and over again into our bodies. I don't know what you think of pap.
So I don't have any issues with pap, but like with all foods, whether natural or processed, you want to take it in moderation. So if you're eating pap 3 times a day, it could be a problem, and especially if you're not balancing it out with other nutritional items like proteins that we mentioned and fats as well. So for example, some of the things that we see, especially in very young children, that are malnourished, is that they tend to have an overload of things like porridge. A lot of poorer communities aren't able to afford other things to feed children, so they tend to feed them a lot of porridge. And yes, it's good energy for your body, but your body needs other things to survive as well. It needs protein at the end of the day, it needs fats, it needs other minerals as well. So pap is not a bad thing in and of itself, but it needs to be taken in moderation and in combination with other minerals and macronutrients, which is the proteins and the fats as well.
That's quite interesting. But count me out of pap, Dr. Mayaba. Once a week is fine. As we're about to wrap it up, let's quickly look at how can then we enjoy sugar responsibly without harming our health. What can we do to make sure ultimately that we are not harming our health? And I think we've touched it as we went along. But in summary, what then do we do?
Okay, so there's a lot of different approaches. Every person's different, their diets are different, their body habits is different. So with most people, if you are having trouble with sugar or you're addicted to sugar, one simple way I know that people sometimes talk about is using sugar substitutes. And these sugar substitutes, a lot of the time, tend to be lower in calories than pure sugar. But they've also been kind of, proposed to have their own health risks. And some of these health risks, people may discuss things like bloating and GIT issues to the extremes of cancer as well, but sugar substitutes are one way you can try and cut down on sugar. But other things as well is, the key to any addiction and not just sugar addiction is to not just stop suddenly. Yes, we know, sugar has bad effects, but you want to take it slowly and have a gradual decrease in your intake rather than just stopping suddenly, because you're going to have issues such as cravings that we mentioned earlier. You're going to have rebound issues such as headaches and fatigue, because your body's so used to consuming that high level of sugar that if you stop suddenly, it becomes an issue. You start to get other symptoms as well of that. A second way, that people can combat high sugar intake is to educate yourselves. Read on the internet and always read your sugar labels as well. You'll be able to see how much calories, food items. You'll be able to see how much sugar and food items. And then that way you're able to decide which are the best foods. There's lots of foods out there that people may not be aware contain sugar. And a good example is fruit juice. People 100% fruit juice is good because it's fruit, But what tends to happen is it tends to be very saturated and there's very little fiber, So it's important to read the labels in order to determine what's actually healthy and what appears just to be healthy as well. Yeah, and then some of the
But I've got a question there when you talk about fruit juice. So if I am eating an apple, apples, how many apples are enough? Because somebody might just say, Dr. Maiba said we should eat apples because or fruit because they've got fiber and all that stuff. Then somebody goes away and eats six apples a day. How much is enough then?
So I think one of the amazing things that I've kind of learned over the years is that the body knows when it's had enough, So, I'm not advocating for people to eat 10 apples a day because, sugar is still sugar at the end of the day. But the body knows when it's had enough, and the body tends to tell you, that's when you stop having cravings and you stop, trying to reach for snacks and things. So yes, you want to replace processed sugar with natural sugars, but even with natural sugar, you don't want to overdo it because sugar is still sugar, and the process of digesting that sugar is still the same. It may not cause the very high spikes of sugar, but it's still, if it's overdone, the body doesn't need that excess sugar or that excess energy. So it ultimately will become stored, It will become stored as fat and it will cause weight gain eventually if it's overdone.
That's interesting. And finally, as we close it, my last question, Dr. Maeva. Somebody said sugar has got the same effect as Black Label. And let me explain to our listeners, Black Label makes people age quickly and fast. Does sugar have that effect? Does it make people look old or
So,
over
yes.
eating it?
Yeah, so there's many effects to sugar intake, and we spoke a lot earlier about obesity, diabetes, insulin resistance, and all of that, but there's different manifestations of high sugar intake, and one of those is aging and skin aging. People who tend to have a lot of skin breakouts and acne, that could be as well a manifestation of high sugar levels or a poor diet, and if visited a good doctor, they'll never discuss health issues without talking about diet, because what you put in is just as important as prescription medication and the things that you buy, all these ointments and creams and all sorts. So any good doctor knows that a diet is a very vital and important part of any health condition, and that includes skin conditions and aging. So yes, I agree that sugar has its effects, and skin aging and poor skin and kind of poor liver disease and all of that is a result of high sugar intake.
Well, Dr. Maeva, we just want to say thank you very much to the ladies listening right now. If you want a beautiful skin, I'd advise take your natural sugars, try and keep away from processed sugars. To the married men, if you do not want to suffer erectile dysfunction, you've heard it from the good doctor. To the young people, if you do not want acne, well, you've heard it for yourself. But anyway, Dr. Mayaba, we just want to say thank you very much for coming through to the Adventist World Radio and sharing so much powerful insights and wisdom.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me, Tamu.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.